Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance on the day we've been waiting impatiently for. Rodgers remains. Russell relocates. The ramifications are endless. The hashtag crew is all here. Let's ride.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
The Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks have agreed to a trade that will send Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
We knew Russell was a little dissatisfied last year with what was going on in Seattle.
Now there's a new Super Bowl contender in Denver.
And the conversation continues. Greeny with you here and delighted to have Dan Orlovsky and Kimberly Martin hang out in the studio here after we wrap up Get Up with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We've had a fun 2 hours and it rolls over here. Guys, thank you both. It is such an enormous day. And Kmart, it was about 20 minutes or so before I wrapped up this show yesterday that we got the news on Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Pat McAfee tweeting that Rodgers is going to stay put in Green Bay. And the first thought I had was, what's Denver going to do? Mm-hmm. Having no idea that by 2 hours later, yep, we would get this blockbuster. How did it come to be that the Broncos managed to rally that quickly and land a quarterback of that magnitude?
So obviously, a lot of teams were interested in Aaron Rodgers, right? But you got to kind of have multiple plans going at the same time. So you think, well, what would things look like if we're able to get Aaron? What would things look like if we're able to get Russell? And so as you go further along, even at Indy, the foregone conclusion was that Aaron was going to stay in Green Bay. Teams were just getting a little frustrated, like, let's make some move. Like, let's go. And so now that domino has fallen, that allowed Denver to move along and say, this is the plan of attack. Like, Russell was somebody that we were eyeing. We feel really good about. It's not a consolation prize. Mm-hmm. Russell was a guy that clearly did not want to be in Seattle, and the timing of it worked out perfectly, that he wants out. You've got a ready-made team that felt like it's like the Rams. They're a QB away from being a contender, and it works.
No, I'm with you. And without meaning any disrespect to them, Jimmy Garoppolo would be a consolation prize. Mitch Trubisky would be a consolation prize. And those guys are going to command significant, yeah, compensation because of the dearth of quarterbacks available, particularly in the draft. So, Danny, let's analyze the situations here, because Shefty on TV told us that Russell Wilson handpicked this. Mm-hmm. He handpicked Denver. Mm-hmm. Why? Tell everybody who's not really that aware. The Broncos kind of nondescript the last couple of years. Why is this such a good situation for him?
It's probably one of the most complete teams in the AFC, the focal point being team. I think if you look at their offensive skill talent, even though they lost their stunt young stud tight end in Noah, mm-hmm, Fant, two really good backs in Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, that's going to fit into a scheme that Nathaniel Hackett, their new head coach from Green Bay, is going to utilize with their run game. Jerry Jeudy, the promising young wide receiver that came from Alabama that hasn't had the quarterback to match his talent, he's going to be back and healthy. Cortland Sutton is a big vertical threat downfield. KJ Hamler, who's an absolute vertical juice guy coming off the ACL injury, so we got to see what he looks like. But the skill talent as a group, you go, those are four or five really good players, not even mentioning a player like Tim Patrick. And then you go, they got the number three defense in the NFL last year. You know, so we're talking about a team that probably is as good as the team that Russell Wilson, or it's the closest team talent-wise that Russell Wilson had that when he won the Super Bowl, mm-hmm, with Seattle. And I said this morning, Russell Wilson has never been in the situation where the high level of talent around him and high level of scheme and play calling and design around him. Even when he won his Super Bowl, or even when he was playing at a high level, there was always, well, offensive coordinator, they got to get a different version of scheme around him. So that's why, Greeny, this, you know what I just thought of is when Shefty came on NFL Live last year, the day of the draft, and broke the news that Aaron Rodgers was unhappy in Green Bay, mm-hmm, I was asked the question, and our show was asked the question, where should Aaron Rodgers want to go? The number one team was the Denver Broncos, because we all believe that the cumulative talent is so good. That's why Russell Wilson went there.
And so then let's make this Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What is at stake for Russell Wilson right now in Denver?
Yeah, I think his legacy, in many ways his career, was dying in Seattle because of the way that the front office has missed on draft picks and the roster was just not good enough. And even though Russell Wilson individually was playing at such a high level, he wasn't getting into that recognition that we wanted to place when it comes to top four or five guys in the league, let alone what his long-term conversation legacy will be. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. But he has won Super Bowl. You don't get a seat at the table of in the conversation of one of the greatest ever with one Super Bowl. Whether you like it or not, whether we think it's fair, it's just the reality. And he is looking at this picture saying, I wasn't going to win another one in Seattle. I want more than one. And I think his long-term legacy and the way that he is viewed is on the line.
Yeah, that's the thing. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Kmart, we had a really good spirited debate, particularly in the second hour of our TV show today when Booger jumped in. And I think he was speaking for a lot of people mm-hmm. when he was saying, and I'm paraphrasing, Russell Wilson's a very good player, but let's not put him in the conversation with the best guys in the league today. And Dan was sort of on the other side of that, which, no. He's one of the best guys yeah. in the league today. And Kmart, I guess now, as we did with Matthew Stafford, we're going to find out once yes. and for all the answer to that question.
Because the knock on Russell, we talked about it all morning, is, yes, he has won Super Bowl. But did he really win that Super Bowl? Was that all him? Or was that the defense? Or was that the running game? And so now he's in a position similar, Dan said this on Get Up, where, you know, you take Matt Stafford. Is it Detroit or is it Stafford? You know, if you take Stafford out of this situation, can he win you a Super Bowl? We know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, the Patriots not that great. If you remove Tom Brady, put him in Tampa, what happens? Is he done or is he? Oh, no, he wasn't done. He won a Super Bowl. And Russell, this is why when you talk about pressure among these two quarterbacks, there is a lot of pressure on Russell because of how people talk about him. It seems very polarizing. For as good as he is, he just never seems to get the credit that he deserves for the skills that he has, you know? And I think this is a situation for him. It's about legacy, but it's also, you know, how people talk about you, how people look at you. And if you are one of the best, you want to be at the top. It's not just good enough to be top 10, top 15.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be top 3. I want to be top 2. I want to be the top guy.
Right.
And they're all just wired to be like that.
Agrini presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. And so it brings us this question, Dan. Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old. He's won one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is 33 years old. He's won one Super Bowl. We would assume Wilson has a lot more time left. Which one do you think winds up retiring with more championships?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers. A couple of reasons why. Number one, Green Bay has been so good for so long, specifically in these last 3 years. Eventually you win one when you're that good. You go 13-3, 13-3, 13-4, NFC title, number one seed. I think they lost this year because San Francisco was the worst matchup that they could have had. I don't think that's going to happen a second year in a row. Number two, I think the organization has shown us over the last couple months in Green Bay, they are going all in. And I still believe that there's some moves that that organization is going to make that is going to help their football team moving forward. The NFC is not very good. The Rams are the team to beat. We'll see if New Orleans gets a quarterback, but the road in the NFC is just so much easier in the AFC. If you took that Denver team and placed them in the NFC, I'd be like, man, they might win two or three. They're that good and that conference is that bad. And I just look at the NFC or the AFC, excuse me, their young quarterbacks, and I go, if we're going to say 5 or 6 years, I think that Patrick gets one. I think that Justin gets one. I think that Joe gets one. I think that Josh gets one. I think Lamar gets one. Or a combination of something like that.
Right.
And that's why I think the AFC is just brutal.
It's a murderer's row. It's unlike anything that I can. I mean, I've been.
We're not even talking about New England.
Following the sports. Yeah. And who knows which of the young quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, you've got Mac Jones and you've got Zach Wilson, God help us. And you've got Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. A bunch of other young quarterbacks. Who knows what they're going to turn into here. But all these teams, almost every team in the AFC feels kind of set up at quarterback on one level or another. And so, Kmart, that brings us, I think, to this question, because whither Jordan Love? The 2 years ago, the Green Bay Packers traded up in the first round to select Jordan Love, which was supposed to set in motion the beginning of the end of the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay, except he had other ideas. And now we find ourselves where we wake up this morning. Is it your expectation that Jordan Love winds up getting traded sometime between now and the draft?
So I would want to get something for Jordan Love, because if you're the Packers, you've shown that you love him, except now we've dialed it back and we love the other guy that was here originally. I think you try to get something for him, but on our production call earlier for Get Up, you know, I felt like the Packers, I said this on the call, I feel like the Packers have done Jordan Love a disservice only from the standpoint of he was going to be the future. Now we haven't developed him on the field, we haven't seen him take the next step. And I understand you were Dan, you were talking about all the things that happen behind the scenes. How do you become a pro in the NFL? How do you adjust from college to now you've got to learn, develop, play well? He hasn't gotten the opportunities, and we understand why, because Aaron Rodgers said, oh, no, I'm not done here, so sit down. But if you're another team and you have the option of getting, trying to put all your eggs in one basket and trying to get one of the top veteran quarterbacks that are out, or even one of the next tier guys like a Jimmy G, like that to me is the route that I'm trying to go. Because this, and but again, because the draft is set up the way it is, where there aren't a lot of good quarterbacks, at least draft experts feel that way right now, Jordan Love becomes attractive because he's not just a rookie coming in. So I understand that point. But if I'm another team, I'm not particularly sold on Jordan Love just because I haven't seen enough from him.
So this all goes back to what your front office and general manager thought of Jordan Love 2 years ago coming out of the draft.
Right.
I mean, if you had Jordan Love on a second round grade, and now in 2 years you've seen him learn under Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett and Matt LaFleur, and they've done a lot of the dirty work of developing a young quarterback, and you believed in that second round grade then, you're certainly interested now. I mean, we have to remind everybody, Greeny, Green Bay went up in the draft to go select him to number 26.
Right.
So the reason they go up is because they have information or an inclination that there are people ahead of them that want him. And my mind goes to, well, Seattle was the 27th pick that year. What are they going to do? Tennessee was 29. Minnesota was 31. Indianapolis was 34. And that was the guy that was, or that was the team that was correlated to Jordan Love a lot. So what were the grades then? What have you seen since he's come into the NFL? And I'm not saying he's going to go for a first round pick, and maybe it's not even an early second, but if I'm Green Bay, I'm trying to recoup value because I'm a live in the assumptive world that Aaron Rodgers is going to play for two more seasons. Yeah. That gets us to the end of Jordan Love's fourth year in his career. You have to make a decision on a fifth-year option before then. Mm-hmm. You're not going to pick up the fifth-year option without seeing him play. So I think that's why you just have to recoup value.
So if I were to, and again, no one analyzes quarterback play, in my view, Dan, better than you do. So if I was just to throw some names out here, and tell me if I'm missing anyone: Jimmy Garoppolo, Jameis Winston, Mitchell Trubisky, Malik Willis, and Kenny Pickett, who figure to be the two lock first-rounders in this year's draft. Of that group, would you rather have any of them right now than Jordan Love?
Yeah, I think Mitchell Trubisky for sure. I still think that Mitchell Trubisky's got a chance to be a good player. Jimmy Garoppolo, no. Jameis, I would say yes with Jameis as well, especially if his health is improving. The difference is the cost that it's going to be. Jordan Love, you're still going to get for a cheap cost for 2 years.
Yeah, or three if you want.
Right, in relation to what those two guys. I haven't studied Malik Willis yet to say, hey, I want Jordan Love over him yet.
Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett will be the two guys who were drafted first in one and two in one order or the other as far as quarterbacks this year.
Kenny Pickett's a lot more of a high-level consistent player than Jordan Love was coming out of college. But Jordan has some physical talent that Kenny just doesn't. I think that is a close conversation as well.
So, Kmart, how do you think this all breaks down? Do you believe Jordan Love winds up on another team, someone else's starting quarterback next year?
I don't.
No.
I don't see that. March 2022, as of right now, I don't see that happening.
All right, we will see. I could do this forever. Guys, thank you both so much. I really appreciate you hanging out.
You're the man.
Both be on TV from down here all day long. Hey, you know the free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and help you save time and money down the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Coming up next, the Hashtag crew has their takeaways, and I've got a question of the day for everybody. It's on the way. You're listening to Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. All right, the assembled members of the hashtag crew are with us today. Hashtag Hembo, hashtag Nuno, hashtag Bubba. I'm always interested, and I've become increasingly so, in the way Vegas reacts to enormous moves made yesterday. And so I will just throw some of those numbers out before we hear from the members of the hashtag crew. The Seahawks yesterday woke up 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. They went to sleep 75-1 to win the Super Bowl. What Vegas is telling you is they went from a bad team to one of the worst teams in the NFL. I would argue right now they're as far away from winning the Super Bowl as just about any team in the sport. Does that seem right? Is that an overstatement?
Perhaps a bit. I suppose it depends.
Who is their quarterback going to be?
Well, right now it's probably going to be Drew Locke. So
you
might be right.
I rest my case. I mean, what more do you want me to say? Drew Locke was drafted to be the quarterback in Denver and never could be. He could never close. He couldn't hold that job down for more than 2 weeks at a time. I don't mean to insult him, but that's just the reality of the situation. The Broncos went from 22-1 to 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now, what I did not look at, and this is probably my bad, how many teams are ahead of that?
Right now to win the championship?
Yeah.
So only ahead of Denver right now are Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo.
Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo. The Packers went from 15-1 to 10-1. Did you give me that in order? So is Green Bay the favorite?
No. It's Buffalo, Kansas City, then Green Bay.
So Buffalo is the favorite?
That's correct. Buffalo is now the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Followed by Kansas City.
Followed by Green Bay.
Followed by Green Bay. The smartest bet on that of that group is the Packers. Because what do you have to do before you can win the Super Bowl?
You got to win your conference.
And who has an easier path to get through that? Rodgers with Green Bay or the murderer's row that is the AFC? I've been watching the sport 50 years, pretty much. I'm 54. So let's say I've been really aware of what's going on in pro football for 45 years and have been obsessed with it every moment of my life. There has never been a time where either conference had the number of what I would describe as outstanding quarterbacks as the AFC has right now. Never. It's never happened. They've been distributed a little more evenly over the course of time. B, we're just in a golden age of quarterbacks. More players, more different people are playing the position. It's much easier than it used to be to play the position because of the way they protect it and the way it's coached and so many other things. There's never been a time like this that we had this volume of great players all sort of collapsed into one conference. And that is significant. So right now, by far, the better bet to win the Super Bowl is Green Bay, way better than Buffalo or Kansas City, who have to get through each other, plus Cincinnati, plus Russell in Denver, plus insert a lot of other names. Tennessee was the one seed last year, and on it goes. Russell Wilson went from 30-1 to 15-1 to win the MVP. Aaron Rodgers went from 7-1 to 8-1 to win the MVP. That's interesting to me that it moved in that direction based on him staying where he was. Aaron Rodgers has basically no chance to win the MVP. He would have to have the greatest season in NFL history to win the MVP for a third consecutive year because the award is on some level a narrative award. Having said that, let me bring in the assembled members of the hashtag crew. Yesterday was one of the craziest days we've ever seen in sports, and I would like to get the number one takeaway from that day in the sports world from each member of the hashtag crew, starting Hembo with you. Go.
Yes, Greeny, Major League Baseball, their owners have created a new deadline.
What the hell are you talking about?
You asked me to provide my number one takeaway from yesterday, and I'm telling you what my number one takeaway was.
Your number one takeaway from a day in which Aaron Rodgers decided to stay in Green Bay and Russell Wilson was traded to Denver. starts with the word baseball?
Yes, they're going to
Nuno, I'm stopping you from talking right now. Nuno, I believe we need a punishment.
This is why people shake nerds.
We need to do that. Under no circumstances, Nuno, you are the producer of this program. Under no circumstances can a person's answer on this day be baseball. Is that right? Do I have that right?
That is correct. So in a baseball term that you would understand, Hembo, you are currently 0-2 right now.
Stop.
Based upon what you've done in the last 5 minutes.
Okay. Hold on a second over there, Mr. Hembakitis. I'm going to tell everyone just how bad Hembo is at answering questions in general. Because I just asked you what your biggest takeaway was after the biggest football day maybe ever, and your response was baseball. And that was only the second worst answer to a question that you've offered me in the last 10 minutes. So I'm the host of two shows, right? I host Get Up in the Morning, and then I slide over 60 seconds later, say back and better than ever, and I host this show. So when you're a host of a show, you need people to pump you up. You know, I got a lot going on. So after we go to our first commercial break in this show, I go get my hard-boiled eggs. That's what I'm having for my snack now. Mm. I got my eggs. I come back in the room. I turn to Hembo and I say, so what'd you think of the TV show this morning? I always bounce off him. How do you feel that Get Up went? Tell everyone exactly how you responded.
I thought we had a great second hour.
That is verbatim what he said.
I didn't realize the first hour was so bad.
What? There is no human being alive who would not have that reaction, the reaction Bubba had and the reaction that I had. There is no human being alive who would not take that to mean you thought the first hour stunk.
What are you talking? Okay, so let me provide an analogy, okay?
Okay.
If you tell your wife, wow, you look beautiful today.
Right.
But you didn't say that yesterday, is her response likelier to be, or should her response be, thank you, or did I not look beautiful yesterday?
Well, you've delved into a different area now, because that is not a perfect analogy. I specifically asked you about an entire show, and you made a point to only reference half of it. So if you said to your wife, Lizzie,
Out of all the days this week, the first time
it's jumped to my mind that you look beautiful is today, that I could see being a problem. Mm. You know, it's reminiscent of the old joke that your grandmother gives you a blue sweater and a red sweater for a gift, and you show up to her house the next day and you wear the blue sweater, and you ring the doorbell and she opens and says, what, you didn't like the red one? But this is not exactly that. So, Hembo, I'm now discounting whatever your opinion is on the biggest takeaway from yesterday.
They're enlarging the bases, 15 to 18 inches. The bases have been this size for more than 100 years.
He means this. He actually is not kidding. He wants to have that conversation today. Are they really enlarging the bases?
By 3 inches.
Okay, well, that actually is a little more interesting than what I thought you were going to say. It's infinitely less interesting than Russell Wilson being traded to the Broncos. So let me then go to Bubba. Hashtag Bubba now jumps in. Hashtag Bubba, what was your number one takeaway from the madness that was yesterday?
Yeah, well, clearly the only way I can look at this is from the Cowboys angle, and I'm looking at this pretty frustrated because I'm seeing the Packers going all in here. I'm seeing the Broncos going all in, and I'm looking at my team – and they're about to cut Amari Cooper. Not happy about that at all. And they might even be cutting DeMarcus Lawrence next. And right now is the time the Cowboys should be going all in. The NFC is ripe for the picking. And they're just making these questionable decisions while these other teams are going all in. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see the Broncos make a move like this and the Packers keep the quarterback, that even though I said they should trade him for draft picks. But they're keeping the quarterback going for the Super Bowl. And the Cowboys are making these questionable decisions. I don't like it.
Okay. See, that is a good answer. And I would say further than that, the simple fact, yesterday went against you like crazy as a Cowboy fan, because if Rodgers goes to Denver, Seattle wasn't a factor with Russell anyway.
Right.
So you would have been sitting there one of the two favorites to win the conference.
Oh,
it would basically be the Rams and then the Cowboys, I would think, depending on how else, right, Hembo?
The Niners are also in that.
Oh, yeah, the Niners. But the Niners are going to hand the ball over to a quarterback with such little experience. I know he's got unbelievable talent, but Trey Lance has so little experience. Let's put it this way. Aaron Rodgers staying in your conference was bad news for the Cowboys, so I like it.
Absolutely.
Hashtag Nuno, how about you? What was your number one takeaway from one of the wildest football days ever?
Just how legacies have have been defined will be defined, right? Because I look at it, the Seattle thing with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. You only got one Super Bowl out of there. Like, at the end of the day, you expected more. I look at, you know, Aaron Rodgers being afraid to go somewhere else and staying in Green Bay and, you know, whatever's going to end up, you know, how that's going to end up with, you know, ringless because he's not even getting married. Like, so that's the type of stuff that I look at, legacies.
So that was very Nuno. I mean, I accept every part of it. He's an angry man, and he has found ways to spin all of that into anger. No, I my biggest takeaway from it and is where I thought you were starting to go there, which is the fascinating way in which quarterbacks are defined by championships. And both of these will be. Both of these guys will be. They're on different trajectories. Russell Wilson is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I believe he would get... If Russell Wilson retired today, would he make the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I think he would.
I think he would,
I
too.
I think he would.
But he'd be one that people would argue about.
Not a first ballot guy.
Russell Wilson can solidify himself as a Hall of Famer. And let's face it. When you're in the Hall of Fame, you're in the top 0.01% or whatever it actually comes out to of the players in the history of your sport. For Rodgers, we know what he's playing for. For Rodgers, it is about being invited to a seat at the smallest table in the Hall of Fame. Like, you know, when they all get together in the Hall of Fame, I'd like to envision them like having like little tables they sit at. You know, and some of the guys whose names you don't really know, they sit over there, you know, and whatever it is. But there's like one table. Montana's sitting there. Peyton Manning's sitting there. Who else who's still alive? You know, they're saving a seat for Brady. There's a seat that says Tom Brady on it. A few of the others, you know, John Elway is sitting at that table. Mm. And they look up and they're like, is Aaron Rodgers going to get himself a seat at this table? And Aaron Rodgers has the talent and the ability to sit at the head of that table. And he needs to start compiling some championships at the end of his career, I think, to solidify his spot.
So the only quarterbacks at that table are those with more than one championship?
Well, see, I think so. Is Dan Marino at that table? I said yesterday on this show that if you ask me to just name the greatest thrower of the football that I've ever seen, like just the person who threw the ball better than anyone I've ever seen in my 45 years watching the sport, I would say Dan Marino. Dan Marino threw the football so beautifully it could make you cry. But how do you put him with Montana? How do you put him with Brady when he gets there and some of the other greats when he never won a championship, when the primary objective of it was never accomplished? There's really only two. You tell me if I'm overstating this. I think there are only two players in sports who are held to that standard. The superstar in basketball and the quarterback in football.
Mm.
Like, I don't think, is it held against Ted Williams that he never won a World Series?
Not at all.
Is it held against Ernie Banks that he never won a World Series?
Definitely not.
Is it held against, I can't speak that much to the hockey. I feel like most of the all-time great hockey players have won at least one Stanley Cup, but it's not one that I have as much of an understanding of. The individual sports have to go in a different, obviously, that's all that matters in the individual sports. But when it comes to football, like, I don't think we judge our running backs that way. I don't think that Jerry Rice is considered the greatest receiver because he won all those Super Bowls. You know, a guy like Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl. I don't think it works against his legacy in any way. So I think the quarterbacks and the basketball superstars are the only ones held to that standard. You know, we count the rings, Michael's rings and LeBron's rings and all that kind of stuff. And I think we do that here with the quarterback. So, yes, I think Aaron Rodgers is in one place right now. And if he wins another championship or two, I think he goes to another. I think he goes on the list of the right now. If Aaron Rodgers retired right now, when I make the list of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time, he would not be on it.
No, you're right.
And if he 100%. Wins one more, I think he would be. It's a good question.
If he wins one more, would you put him ahead of Peyton Manning? On that list?
It's so close. Manning, to me, is the best regular season quarterback I ever saw. He got carried to his second ring.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers in the postseason were not as good as some of the others. If right now the five greatest quarterbacks of all time are Brady and Montana. Those are the two that have to go on the list. It's so hard. You want to just make it the Super Bowl era. It's so hard. Are we going to include Johnny Unitas? Are we going to include Bart Starr? Are we going to include Otto Graham? Well, it's so hard if you're going to go back through the entire history of the sport.
If you're going to include those guys, all three of them would have to be ahead of Rodgers, though, for sure.
And certainly in terms of winning. I mean, the sport is so different from what it was when those guys played it also. So I almost want to make it just of the Super Bowl era.
Okay.
Is Rodgers ahead of Aikman? Now, Troy Aikman's individual stats look like, if you just line them up against Aaron Rodgers, will look like a joke. I mean, will just look ridiculous yeah, compared to them. But are you old enough to have watched Troy Aikman play? He's a freaking stud. He was phenomenal. And he won three Super Bowls, which is something that only three other players, can say that they've won more than two Super Bowls. So at this moment in time, is Rodgers a greater player than him? I'm not sure. Is Rodgers a greater player than Peyton Manning? Is Rodgers a greater player, not better, a greater player than even Marino? He won one championship. Marino won zero.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, whistling along on this really busy Wednesday after the enormous NFL news of yesterday with Rodgers staying put and Russell Wilson relocating and the perspective from all the members of the hashtag crew here. So we've got a list of every quarterback who has won at least two Super Bowls. I'm going to use the Super Bowl era as our line of demarcation, okay? Because I don't want to start trying to figure out how to compare Otto Graham, Sammy Baugh, Bart Starr, who's the great, most important part of his career came before the Super Bowl era, and Johnny Unitas, same way. I don't know how to compare those guys to the best quarterbacks of this day. I just don't think there's a reasonable comparison to be made. So if we're just looking at the quarterbacks who've won at least two Super Bowls, you say a name, and I will tell you, is Rodgers a greater quarterback historically than that guy, yes or no?
Tom Brady.
No, start at the other end. Start at the bottom of this table. Don't start at the top.
Bob Greasy.
Yes, I would say, first of all, it's Greasy.
Bob Greasy.
Not Greasy. And sometimes, see, you sidetrack me with these pronunciations.
What are you talking about? Greasy won
two,
and Aaron Rodgers only won one. Bob Greasy.
All right, you got to go. You got to go for the rest of the
okay.
segment.
Just so you go to the middle of the list now?
Set. Let the record show.
Brandon, get him off the set.
I agree. Brandon, we're going to have to remove Hembo forcibly. He just said the words, Bob Greasy, 1-2. I have a problem with your pronunciation of half the words
there's
in
like
that short
seven
sentence.
Things that are pronounced wrong there.
His last name is pronounced Greasy. He was a great quarterback at Purdue. He was the quarterback of the Shula-led Dolphin teams. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. His numbers are underwhelming to say the very least. Those were teams that were predicated on the run, and the year that they went had a perfect season, he didn't even start half their games. He got hurt, and Earl Morrill started most of their games. That said, he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but Rodgers goes ahead of him. Who's next?
John Elway.
Elway, I go ahead of Rodgers right now. I think Rodgers has a chance to pass him, but if he retired this minute, I would go Elway ahead of Rodgers.
Okay, how about Jim Plunkett?
Rodgers for sure.
How about Roger Staubach?
That's a tough one. Staubach, people don't remember him. Staubach won the Heisman at Navy, then served a five-year military commitment. So he lost out on 5 years of his career. Won two Super Bowls and reached, I want to say, at least two more with the Cowboys. He was a great quarterback, and I would take him ahead of Aikman as the greatest of all the Cowboy quarterbacks myself. Rodgers versus Staubach is a very hard one. I think I will go Rodgers, though. I by an eyelash, I will give Rodgers that one.
Okay, how about Eli Manning?
Rodgers for sure.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Rodgers.
Peyton Manning.
That's a very hard one. I think Rodgers is going to pass him. At this moment, I think I would still go Manning, but it's close because that second, I give him, look, I love Peyton. I think I would go Peyton, but by an eyelash. And I think Rodgers will surpass him as well. Rodgers will surpass him and Elway by the time he's done.
How about Bart Starr? We're not going to count Bart Starr?
We're not going to count Starr. Okay. It's just too hard to do because he won three other championships before there were Super Bowls.
Okay, once and for all, Troy Aikman.
Aikman, I think I have to go Rodgers. I loved Aikman. And Aikman is a guy who is shortchanged because his numbers look so bad. Do I have this right? Did he throw more interceptions than touchdowns in his career? The ratio is unbelievably close.
That was Bradshaw.
If he didn't know, I think Aikman may have too.
Aikman's career ratio is 165-141.
Say it again.
Aikman's career touchdown to interception ratio was
he threw 165 touchdowns and 141 interceptions. Mm-hmm. So it's not more, but it's not nearly what these guys are today. But Aikman was tough as nails and a great player and a great winner and a great leader. But I guess if Rodgers doesn't win another championship, if he wins one more, I'll put him ahead of Aikman. But I think right this minute I have to go Troy. So, except I just said that I would put Staubach ahead of Troy. God, it's so hard. I mean, these things are so hard. So if we're going to use the Mad Dog, so I watched that day that Mad Dog and Stephen A. just yelled at each other and they were talking about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What standard are we using? Are we using everything they accomplished or are we using which guy am I taking right now to lead me to where I want to go?
A, what they accomplished.
What they accomplished, then I will go Aikman.
Would you go Aikman then over Peyton Manning?
No.
You would not?
No. Manning's numbers are so much better, and he's got two championships to three. I would not.
Okay. Joe Montana.
Montana for sure.
Terry Bradshaw.
See, that's a tough one because, again, he played in such a different era. I think at this moment, I mean, having just watched them both play their careers, I mean, to the eye test, Rodgers is so much better. But Bradshaw won four Super Bowls. I mean, it's very hard to say the four versus one. And Rodgers hasn't even been to another. So I'm going to go Bradshaw.
And our last man is Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady is an obvious one. Started. So it's a fascinating conversation. But it's not as interesting as what my question of the day is. And that's where we have to go next.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old. Russell Wilson is 33. Each of them has one Super Bowl championship on their resume. Aaron Rodgers has spent 11 years trying to win a second. Russell Wilson has spent 8 years trying to win a second. So when we continue in a moment, I'm going to ask the assembled members of the hashtag crew to answer the following question. If you had to bet your life or your house or whatever phrase you're comfortable with in that scenario, which one winds up with more rings when they retire? Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? That's the question. The answer's next. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.